Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful July 4th weekend wherever you happen to be. Of course, we've been crisscrossing the country and living on airplanes. Gee, what a surprise. But we're back. You know where we are? I'm going to tell you where we are. We are on Pier 88 in Manhattan, on the west side, on the Hudson, on board the brand new Norwegian Epic, a massive brand new cruise ship. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. And of course, we're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve things right here on the air. It is the July 4th weekend. And you know what that means: fireworks, parades, and in thousands—and I'm not exaggerating this—thousands of communities across this country. That also means parades honoring volunteer fire departments. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about that because, as I like to say, they're not just a part of the fabric of the American community; they are the American community. And on this week's CBS Sunday Morning, on this Sunday, July 4th, that's this weekend, you'll see a special piece that I did about celebrating volunteer firefighters in this country. And a little known fact, 72% of all firefighters in America are volunteer. But first, let's go to our managing editor of PeterGreenberg.com, who's been waiting patiently on the phone, Sarika Shala. Hey, Sarika.
Hey, Peter. How's the ship?
It's great. I mean, it's big. It's big. It's making a statement. What are you saying?
Oh, no. I was just listening to you.
Oh, okay. I'm saying it's big. It makes a statement. It's certainly got everybody's attention when it sailed into the Hudson today, and we'll be talking a little bit about more of that about later. But bottom line is, you know, on a more serious note, of course, we've been covering the spill of oil in the Gulf. What do you got?
We got our comprehensive guide. And like you say, it's front page news for us all the time. So it's actually right there on our front page under featured travel articles. You'll see our volunteer vacation for also Haiti, Chile, and China, and then our guide to helping in the Gulf. And so what we have are links to all the resources you need to register to be a volunteer, some tips on how you can actually help even if you can't. You know, people want to go clean the birds, and it's admirable, but unfortunately that takes specialized skills, which not everyone has, but there are other ways to help. So we've got tips on all of that and who to contact, where to go, and what to watch out for.
You know, it was interesting because when we were doing the research on this, and one of our producers, Jessica, was doing some of that research along with you, what we found out was so many of the resources led directly only to British Petroleum.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, they really are overseeing the whole process, which is not great for those of us who want to help because all roads lead to BP. But fortunately, we have some other resources as well.
And one of those resources, by the way, you mentioned about helping the animals. Yes, mm-hmm. If you want to go, you know, clean up the birds that are oiled, you better know what you're doing, and you're not a professional. However, you can get involved with the ASPCA. They were so much involved in the earthquake in Haiti and down in Chile with all the stray animals who were homeless and really needed help. They're involved in this as well.
Yeah, and there's things that people haven't even really thought about. Like the Audubon Society is getting involved. What they're asking is that bird watchers actually go spotting the birds and recording what they're seeing on the Audubon Society's website. And that way, that's going to help prioritize, understand conservation efforts. And it's just, you know, the more information the better. And so that's really where people can be helpful, is become a coastline spotter, become a bird watcher, you know, just sort of keep an eye on how things are developing down there and get the information out.
And I should tell everybody that we update our newsletter on our website every 12 to 18 hours because travel really is news, with or without a Gulf oil spill or with or without an earthquake or a natural disaster in another part of the world. Travel is news, and I recommend that you go there. We're not a transactional website. We are an informational website, and the person who runs that is the person who's on the phone with us right now, Sarika Shala. So, Sarika, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Enjoy the ship.
All right. And believe me, I will. And again, this Sunday morning on the CBS Sunday Morning Show, take a look at the tribute that we make on the July 4th weekend to America's volunteer firefighters. And if you missed our show earlier this week on the CBS Evening News, a different kind of a travel story, an investigative report that I did called America's Deadliest Highways. If you're going to be on the road this weekend, you better watch it even online at cbsnews.com to find out where you might not want to be driving. And it's pretty intense because it's interesting. 78% of America's interstates are considered in good condition, but now let's flip that. That means almost a quarter are not. And we're talking roads that are going to kill you. There's one stretch of the interstate in I-26 in South Carolina, 325 people killed, over 286 wrecks. In just one small stretch of that road, there are more crosses on that road than mile markers. Think about that. And they haven't fixed it. You want to know why they haven't fixed it? I'm going to tell you. Money. In South Carolina, there's a fuel tax, but it's not a percentage. It's a flat fee. It's 16.5 cents a gallon. So as fuel prices have risen over the last couple of years, the state's revenue hasn't. It's still stuck at 16.5 cents a gallon. They have no money to fix it. The problem is, and I ask this question to everybody, it's a rhetorical question, but bear with me on this. If you know you have a problem and you investigate it and you discover what the problem really is, what caused the problem, and then you discover that there's a solution, and then you discover that you can implement the solution, and then you make a conscious decision, a conscious choice not to implement that solution, in my book, that is criminal negligence. And it's not about money at that point. It's about making a conscious choice not to fix something that's going to kill somebody. And we have a list of those roads on the CBS website, which include, by the way, U.S. Route 2 in Montana, probably the deadliest two-lane road in America. For those folks listening to us in Montana, will you please wake up? Do you realize that the state legislature in Montana finally just passed a law this year making it illegal to carry an open container of alcohol in your car? They did it this year. Do you realize there are over 24 states in America that still don't have a mandatory seatbelt law? Do you know that there are over 20 states in America that still don't have a helmet law or a distracted driver's law? You know, we don't have to research this. We don't have to spend money studying it. We know. And we also know the solution. Once again, if we know the problem, if we know the solution, and then we make a conscious, almost intentional choice not to implement that solution, that is criminal negligence. If you have a road that you think is dangerous or deadly, I want you to write me to Peter at PeterGreenberg.com. I want to know about it. Let's talk about it on the air. Because on this July 4th weekend, as there's a 17% increase on the number of Americans on the road driving around, what better time to discuss this than right now? And I'm serious. Also, what better time to discuss what my next guest is going to talk about, something that's near and dear to me because I'm already one myself. I've been one since I'm 18. That's right, volunteer firefighting in America. Nothing more American than that. In fact, it's older than America itself. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Norwegian cruise ship Epic, parked right here on Manhattan's West Side, right after these messages.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
GoRVing.com. Visit great destinations around the corner or across the country. With new RVs starting at just $5,000, memorable vacations have never been more affordable. To get started, visit GoRVing.com. Go affordably. Go RVing.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on this July 4th weekend. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. Coming to you from the Norwegian Epic, the brand new cruise ship, which is temporarily berthed at Pier 88 right here on Manhattan's West Side. And what a ship it is. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the coming hour. But there's something else that is near and dear to me, and it should be on this July 4th weekend to many of you in thousands of communities across the country. Of course, there'll be fireworks. Of course, there'll be parades. But the parades really celebrate not just Independence Day, they celebrate something else, Dependence Day. Dependence on what? On volunteer firefighters. It might surprise you to know that 72% of all firefighters in America are volunteer. Goes back to the days, not just of Benjamin Franklin, but even before Benjamin Franklin, to Peter Stuyvesant, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, all volunteer firemen. And when I say 72% of America's firefighters are volunteer, well, the person who knows that better than anybody is the fireman himself and the chairman of the National Volunteer Fire Council, Phil Stittleberg. Hey, Phil.
Hello, Peter. Good to talk to you again.
Yes, and I'm, of course, as a point of reference, I would like everybody to watch the CBS Sunday Morning Show this Sunday, July 4th. That's coming up, which is going to honor volunteer firefighters in America. And for interest of, in the interest of full disclosure, I do believe Phil's fire department is on that show. The reason why I know that, of course, is that I went out to LaFarge, Wisconsin, and we went out on a drill with him. There are seven. How many people in LaFarge, Phil?
There's 775 people in LaFarge, Peter, and 30 of them are on the fire department.
And how many in the police department?
Well, there's one person in the police department, but he's also applied for membership, so we're probably the only fire department in the United States that can say the entire police department wants to join the fire department.
But I think you're very much of an example of the way the rest of the state of Wisconsin is, as most states in the United States are, over 860 firefighting departments, fire departments in the state of Wisconsin. But of that 860, about 800 are volunteer.
That's right, Peter. But, you know, that's pretty much typical of the United States. There's about 30,000 fire departments in our country. 70% of them are all volunteer, and another 15% are mostly volunteer. So that's about 90%.
And what people don't realize, and I realize it because in the interest of full disclosure, I'm a volunteer fireman. I've been a volunteer fireman since I was 18, from the very first day I could join, because I was asked to join. It was being a part of the community, if you will. But what I also know about volunteer firefighting is we don't have a budget. We're not paid, and we have to scrape for every dime we can find.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I think that's one of the real challenges that the volunteer fire service faces, is not only do you have to be prepared to respond to the emergency calls, but we also have to spend our time going out and raising the funds to buy the equipment and the turnout gear and whatever that we need to do the job.
I know. And the thing is, what that really means, if you look at it historically, what it really means is you guys were the innovators. You're the guys who figured out all sorts of firefighting inventions and techniques because you had no other choice.
That's absolutely right. And I think it also is great in another way in that we certainly understand the value of the dollar, and we understand how much that thermal imaging camera costs, because we know how many dances we had to have and how many raffles we had to run in order to buy it.
And on a very personal and upfront note, and I can certainly say this about your department, and I know I can say it about my department, there's a 100% chance that when you get an alarm that you respond to, you know the person who's the victim.
You know, that's absolutely correct, and I think that it cuts both ways. It certainly puts a really heavy burden on the responders because, as you say, it's a given. It's an absolute certainty that when you go out on that call, you're going to know the person that lives in that house. You're going to know the person that's trapped in that crash car. And I think it adds to the stress level. However, when I look at the other side of it, I think to myself, you know, if my family member or myself were the person stuck in that vehicle, I guess I'd really want my friends to be the ones who are there getting me out.
And, you know, you and I talked about the concept of the word payday, because you're not paid, but there is a payday.
Yes, I just love to say that I think I understand what motivates volunteers, and what motivates volunteers is payday. And that usually raises eyebrows. And I said, wait a minute, I thought you just said volunteer, and then you said payday. What can you possibly mean? To us, payday is thank you. It's when you cut the person out of the crash car, when you save somebody's house, and they come up and say, thank you for saving my loved one. Thank you for saving everything in my life that's important to me. Thank you. That's payday. That's the day it really is all worth doing. And I'm sure, Peter, you know, in your experience, likewise, you've seen that to be true in your 42 years on the department.
Did you have to mention I've been a member for 42 years? Did you have to mention that?
Well, you know, I kind of thought that people would start to do the arithmetic when you said you joined as soon as you could, yes.
Okay, well, it's true. And there are a couple of guys on the department who have been there as long as I have. But then again, there are guys on your department who have been there longer.
Yes, that's true. And I think that's one of the great strengths of the Volunteer Fire Service is we're able to cover a wide range of ages and also an incredibly diverse collection of skills. You know, there, as you mentioned earlier, Peter, volunteer fire departments are nothing if they're not inventive and ingenious. And that's one of the tremendous strengths of the Volunteer Fire Service is that we draw from every profession, every occupation. It's an unusual event that occurs that you don't have somebody in your fire department that knows how to deal with it.
Well, you really are the butchers, the bakers, and the candlestick makers.
Absolutely correct. We did a survey, and when I say we, I mean the National Volunteer Fire Council, some years ago. And the results were not at all surprising to us, but they were surprising to a lot of non-fire service personnel that, in fact, the proportion of professions and occupations in the United States are pretty much evenly represented on the in the volunteer ranks. In other words, given how many doctors and how many attorneys and how many accountants there are in the country, about the same percentage of that total as carpenters and as masons and as bricklayers are on fire departments. The only exception tends to be loggers and farmers who for whom response time and notification is a problem.
Interesting. Well, you know, there's another little thing that I do. Obviously, I'm doing a travel show. I'm the travel editor for CBS. But whenever I travel, and I would like my listeners to think about this, whenever I travel and I land somewhere or I drive into a community, the very first place I stop is the volunteer fire department. And the reason for that is not because I'm just a volunteer fireman, because not everybody is. The reason why I do it is because in American communities, volunteer firemen or firewomen aren't just an integral part of the fabric of that community. They are the community. And they know the community. You want to know what's going on in a city or a town or a village? Go to the volunteer fire department. They'll know everything. And they'll be helpful and they'll be happy to see you.
Well, you're absolutely right, Peter. And when you say community, that's really the key word. I love to tell people that I think community is defined by three organizations. It's defined by the church, by the school, and by the volunteer fire department.
Wow. In that order?
Well, I'm assuming that they all have a church and a school, but they're almost all certain to have a volunteer fire department.
Well, the volunteer fire department transcends the church and the school, so you trump them all.
Well, I wouldn't want to get in an argument with God here on this.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is that the one thing that cuts across all the age groups, the economic income, the educational income, the position in the community, is that in your community, it's a perfect example of that. You have executives and you've got drivers and you've got lumberyard guys. I mean, there's no hierarchy based on income or education.
No, there really isn't. And, you know, we're talking about 4th of July here and democracy and that sort of thing. And I just think the Volunteer Fire Service is absolutely the American melting pot in action, isn't it? Because you've got people from every profession, from every occupation, who basically have nothing more in common except that they have a desire to protect the lives and property of their neighbors. And they're joining this particular organization to do it. It cuts across, you know, religious preferences, it cuts across political preferences. It just simply is the melting pot.
It is. Well, Phil Stittleberg, it was a pleasure being out there on a drill with you out there in Lafarge, Wisconsin. Of course, I love Wisconsin. I went to school in Madison for reasons of full disclosure. But I'm telling you, if you're anywhere this weekend and there's fireworks and there's a parade, chances are it's to honor the volunteer fire departments, help them raise some money. Do what you can, because the next house they may save could be yours. Phil, thanks for joining us.
Peter, thank you so much for inviting me.
You got it, and happy 4th of July. When we come back, on board the Norwegian Epic, if you thought that entertainment on a cruise ship was another bad Broadway review, I've got a surprise for you. Back with more from the Norwegian Epic right here in New York City when Peter Greenberg Worldwide returns. Back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis.
Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Norwegian Epic right here in Manhattan, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right on the air. Let's go right to the phones. We got Dennis on the phone. Hey, Dennis.
Love listening to your show. Question in relation to exchanging of currency. We're looking to travel to Switzerland this summer, and we don't know whether or not to purchase our currency through the bank that we do our banking with, or at the airport, or over in the country we're traveling to.
All right, I can help you out on that one. The answer is none of the above. How about that? You're not going to purchase your currency at the bank because you're going to be paying an outrageous exchange rate and a bad commission. You're not going to be going to buy it at the airport for the exact same reason. Those money changers will rip you off. Here's the question, Dennis. Do you have an ATM card?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Now, here's the cool part. Check with your bank to see if they're going to charge you a foreign transaction fee for that ATM card. Or there are a number of banks like Capital One. There's another one called Charles Schwab as a brokerage institution that doesn't even charge you to use your ATM card at all. They waive the fees. And what that means is you get the day of exchange rate that the local bank is giving their own customers. You're not paying a commission, and you're only taking out what you need. That's what I would do. And you do it when you get there. There are only 400,000 banks wherever you're going to be. All right, Dennis?
Oh, great. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I appreciate the call. And switching gears right now, back on board the ship, I said right before the break that traditionally, I know I'm sounding a little elitist or snobbish, but entertainment on board ships usually, you know, I will not see another Broadway show review. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I can't deal with it. Well, times have changed, and my next guest is an example of that. And on this ship, you not only have Nickelodeon, you not only have, you know, bowling alleys, you not only have a lounge and blues groups, you also have something called Cirque Dreams. And his name is Jared Burnett from the very international city of
Orlando, Florida.
All right. Yeah. But you played the electric violin in Cirque Dreams.
That's correct. You know, Cirque Dreams and Dinner is actually a project that's been in the work for nearly 7 years.
And they built the theater just for this.
That's exactly correct. It was a
combined effort. They didn't just like build the theater and say, okay, let's go book an act. They built the theater for the act.
That's right. The Cirque Dreams company came up with this creation 7 years ago, and Norwegian Cruise Lines teamed up with Neil Goldberg and created this one-of-a-kind.
Oh, Goldberg,
venue.
Greenberg, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. But, you know, like I said, it's the most unique, one-of-a-kind theater performance venue that's ever been done, not only on a ship, but in any other venue around the world. What we've done is we've blended Broadway theatrics with European acrobatics, and you think of other shows that you've heard this before, you know, with a storyline and things like that. But what we've also done is we've brought the audience into the show and allowed them to enjoy the show, not only visually, audibly, but they're also going to eat a three-course full meal that is...
Wait, this is dinner theater?
That's correct. It's not only... But it's not dinner theater. It's a dinner experience. You know, we bring the audience in and make them feel a part of the show.
Now, that almost sounds like unwieldy, you know, because you got to serve three-course dinner to how many people in that room?
There's 267.
Okay, so you got to do 267 three-course dinners and perform in a theater that is huge.
That's exactly correct. And well, it's not a huge theater. It's actually a more intimate space.
But it's high.
It is high, you know. Yeah. And so we have aerial acts that are flying through the air, you know, acrobats spinning and juggling. You know, but like I said, we've brought the audience into this environment, and they're constantly looking in the 360-degree room to see what's going to happen next.
Because wherever you look, something's going to be happening.
That's exactly correct.
And that's part of the Cirque du Soleil experience when you think about it.
Well, the great thing about our company, Cirque Productions, we're actually based out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And we separate ourselves from other companies that are out there in that we have a English storyline that the audience can fully understand. That's
not like the French.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, so we really pride ourselves on kids and adults being able to come in, understand what's going on, but not only that, be able to enjoy this experience.
Now, when you say you play the electric violin, explain how you are implementing that in the show and also throughout the ship.
Well, my character in the show, you know, his name is Toulouse Le Soundtrack. And it's this very flamboyant, very in-your-face kind of character. And I'm just one of 16 performers that's on stage performing every night in this environment that brings more elements of creativity and performance to life.
Is this the first time you worked on a ship?
It actually is the first time. I've been on many ships as a passenger.
Right.
But as a performer, it's a new experience, but it's unbelievable.
How many months on? How many weeks off?
We're on here for 6 months, you know, but what's wonderful is that the Cirque Dream show is going to continue on. Once our cast comes off, we're going to bring a whole new cast on.
So you're on for 6 months.
That's correct.
And then you're off.
That's correct.
And then what do you do?
And then, you know, we have a lot of projects in the works right now. For example, we have a show opening up at Trump's Taj Mahal in Atlantic City. We have a show opening up at the MGM Grand with Debbie Gibson, 80s pop singer. So there's a lot of projects in the work for the Cirque Dreams company that we're enabled to put different performers in, and that Neil Goldberg has allowed us to continue to work and to produce these amazing shows.
So for the next 6 months, you're going to learn to love the ship or else.
Oh, we already love it. This ship is unbelievable. You know, we've been on here for over a month already. And just the amenities, the different venues of performance, from the Blue Man Group to the Second City Group to our venue, Cirque Dreams and Dinner, we really feel like Norwegian Cruise Line has stepped up.
All right. Jared Burnett, the electric violin player, otherwise known as Toulouse-less Soundtrack. That was his name, not mine. And when we come back, our good friend Johnny Jett rejoins us with the websites of the week you need to know. Back from the Norwegian Epic right after this.
To talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on board the Norwegian Epic, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Joining me now, one of our regulars. He was on early in the show, but I brought him back for more. Johnny Jett, of course, his website is johnnyjett.com. He always joins us with websites we didn't know about but need to know about. Some of them are pretty absurd and fun and wild, and some of them have really great practical applications. What do you have for me today, Mr. Jett?
This one is timely. It's called GulfCoastTravelUpdate.com. So obviously we all know what's going on down in the Gulf.
Or we don't.
Yeah, obviously we don't. But these guys have made a community center where everyone can log on and find out exactly what's going on with all the monitoring, all the states, the Gulf states, the region. They also have the webcam. Have you seen this oil webcam? Which
yeah.
is amazing. It's a mile down, and you can see it just... I mean, it's heartbreaking to see all this oil come out.
Yeah.
But this is a good place to go to get updates and to vent as well.
Okay, cool. And we need to know that. We got another one?
Yeah. Another one is beentheratethat.com. So a lot of people think I'm crazy because I take pictures of almost all of my food and I eat
out. Yeah, and you do, because I see you on Facebook and next thing you know, there's a picture of like a dead salmon.
Dead salmon.
I mean, this is where I am today. No. And oh, look, there's a French fry. I mean, what are you doing?
I didn't think you really logged on to Facebook. I'm impressed.
Hey, am I right about the stuff?
You're right, but not the dead French fry.
No, the dead salmon. Go ahead.
Actually, the most popular thing I post is a slice of New York pizza. Everyone loves that, without a doubt. Anyway, so this place.
Thin pizza. Thin pizza.
Yeah, we like thin.
And we like the thin, yeah.
Anyway, everyone loves looking at food. At least I do. And obviously, so this person who created this website. So what you can do is you can upload your photos to there, and you can even search it for ingredients. There's a whole database on everything, the destinations, the type of cuisines from around the world. So
just people taking pictures of their food.
Yeah. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only freak.
You know what? I'm going to start a website for those people called getalife.com.
It takes me about 10 seconds to upload a photo to Facebook.
That's the excuse?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to do one right now.
Don't do it. Don't you dare. Okay. And what else do you have?
I have the last one is exploreflightfees.com, which I like about this, and you're going to love it, is because, you know, all the airlines are nickel and diamond everyone.
Yep.
For
everything.
Everything. So this one, you can search by the airline. There's 124 on here. Most of these graphs that you see only have the domestic ones. This one has all international, too, or most international. And you can just compare other airlines so you can decide, you know, do I want to fly this airline or the other? And you can put in what you're bringing. If you're going to check bags, if you're going to buy food, things like that.
So you like that one?
I like it. I think you'd like it too.
Okay. I mean, you were the first person to turn me onto the couch surfing.
Yeah.
That was the cool one.
Yeah, man. Everyone likes to couch surf.
Well, see, if you can couch surf and then take photos of the pizza that you ate on somebody else's couch,
then you're doing it right.
It's a twofer. Actually, but there's a website I want to check with you on now. Ready?
Okay.
Yeah. It's called whenareyougonnaproposeToYourGirlfriend.com.
Oh, I don't know that website.
Oh, I know that website.
I don't know that one.
Oh, I know that website. I even know that girlfriend.
I got to go look that website up.
You don't have to look that website up. I'm looking right at you, buddy.
Oh, man.
Come on. You're on the air.
I think I hear a fire alarm.
You're on the air.
There's a fire alarm.
No, you are on the air.
No, this can't be the air.
Oh, this is the air.
Man.
I'm
a traveler. It's tough to be married and travel. Have you been married?
They've just never found the bodies.
They never found the bodies.
Never found the bodies. And I'll be described as a nice, quiet boy. I never hurt anybody.
When you get married, I'll get
to myself
married.
A lot.
You're my travel guru, so when you do it, I'll do it.
Excuse me. In order to do it, you have to be with somebody you love.
Okay.
Okay, here's the question.
All right.
Do you love her?
Do I love her? Of course I love her. I love everybody.
Oh, stop it. No, this is not about a piece of pizza here. I'm talking about your girlfriend.
Oh, my girlfriend.
Yeah, I decided to nail you because your sister's here today, and she... Don't look at her. I'm asking you the question.
Can you repeat that?
Somebody should take a picture of Johnny Jet turning so red.
I'm not red. I love talking about this stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to find out. You know what? This show goes on every week, so we're going to do a Johnny Jet check-in show.
Let's not do that. You're not going to get too many listeners.
No, all that matters is I'm listening right now. I know. All right. Okay. You're off the hook now. You're off the hook.
Thank
it's okay.
You. God, I can breathe.
Give me those websites again real fast, quickly.
Okay. GulfCoastTravelUpdate.com. BeenThereAteThat.com. ExploreFlightFees.com.
And when are you going to propose to your girlfriend.com? That's JohnnyJet.com, by the way. Thank you, Johnny. We appreciate that. Maybe he'll talk to me again. Maybe he won't.
Probably not.
All right. When we come back, more phone calls, more problems. And we'll find out if he's calling the caterer. We'll be back with more from the Norwegian Epic right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, watching all the people on board the Norwegian Epic going about their daily drill here on the ship, which means they're doing whatever they want to do and having a lot of fun. Berthed here at Pier 88. On Manhattan's west side, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, no problem whatsoever. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. Early in the show, we were talking to Jared Burnett, who plays the electric violin in the Cirque Dream show, which is quite a spectacular show if you wanted to mount it even on land. And my next guest will give me an idea of the challenges that you had because... You know, most of the time on cruise ships, let's face it, you know, they have a theater or a stage. You're limited in space. You're limited in sound. You're limited in height. You're limited in width. You're limited in what you can do on that stage. You don't necessarily have risers or an orchestra pit or anything like that. This ship is a little bit different than that. You actually started with the entertainment and almost like built the ship around it. And he would know this. His name, Richard Kilman, who's the director of entertainment for all of NCL. Richard, when we did our special on the Norwegian Pearl on CNBC, you had just joined the company, so we hadn't met then. But we actually followed one of the dancers who went through all the auditions here in New York to get a job to dance on that ship, to show all the routines, all the rehearsals, all the stuff they had to do. Am I right when I say you basically built the ship for the entertainment in a sense?
Yes, the ship was designed with multiple venues. The one you're talking about, the Spiegel Tent, where the Cirque Dreams and Dinner Show is a very unique venue, never been done before on a ship. There's a mini stage there. In the center, a lot of action takes place all around the venue.
Any pyrotechnics?
No pyrotechnics. We haven't gone that far yet.
Okay, just checking.
But we've also incorporated the wait staff in the venue, which is a totally unique experience.
Because you're serving a dinner.
Right. It's all part of the show.
So they're part of the entertaining now.
All woven into the show. Yep, it's an amazing experience. Full 2 hours, 3-course meal, and great theatrics. And, you know, the thing that's, a lot of people have seen these Cirque-style shows and circus acts, but never in this environment where you are literally as close as we are and someone's doing something amazing right in front of you. And that's a whole different level.
That's called the Gentleman's Club.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? I'm terribly sorry.
You said that. I didn't.
Yes, I did. No, but the point is, it really is in your face here in that respect, and which is it interacts with the audience.
It is. It's a whole different experience.
Now, for example, I remember the original Cirque du Soleil shows where you know they some of the people were plants, some of them weren't. When they picked people out of the audience and made them do stuff, right?
Yep, you
do that here?
No, these are not. There's no plants. This is all really passengers that are involved in the show that get picked to do certain things. It's truly interactive and no plants.
That sort of like breaks the mold of cruise ship entertaining in terms of are other ships doing that?
No, no one's doing anything like this. And it's not just the Cirque Dream show, which is amazing. There's also, of course, the Blue Man Group show, which is, you know, we went with a whole branded entertainment lineup. So you have Blue Man Group, Legends in Concert, both in Vegas and in multiple cities around the world. The Howl at the Moon, which is the dueling piano bar, which is there's 13 of them in the United States. The Second City, of course, the comedy troupe.
Well, Second City we had on the Norwegian Pearl.
Yep. But what we've done now is Second City.
And you also have Nickelodeon.
We have the Nickelodeon deal that we did.
How many people are getting slimed every day?
Every day we do at least one.
At
least one a day. But we have, the concept was having multiple venues of entertainment and branded entertainment and bring the level up to a notch that's never been reached before in the cruise industry.
Now, I don't know if this comes under your jurisdiction, but childcare, because you have to entertain the kids too.
Sure.
Now, I remember when Disney first came out with their cruise line, I figured, oh my God, I'm going to be trapped on a ship singing It's a Small World After All for the rest of my life. And I was pleasantly surprised to find out that was not the case. They do a great job. Plus they also provide really great childcare, even for kids from 6 months up, right? How do you entertain? Because I know the biggest complaint letters I get are not from younger kids and not for 11-year-olds. I get complaint letters from the 15, 16, and 17-year-olds, you know, the sort of tweens,
yep,
you know, who have nothing to do.
Yep.
So what do you do about that?
Well, we've actually, on this ship, we've got an amazing kids area for 2 to 12-year-olds. So the tweens and the kids are in there. And then we have a separate area on the opposite side of the ship and a whole different deck for the teens. So they have our own private teen area called Entourage. We have programs we develop for the teams, including their own themed night in the Bliss Nightclub. So we've really gone and upped the ante for the teens on this ship.
Now, this ship is so big, I would assume that people are carrying pagers?
Yeah, there's going to be pagers, handphones for parents that have kids in the program. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, ankle bracelets for husbands to make sure that they don't
there
leave the
go.
Cabin. I just double checking. I just want to
cover the all
the bases. The full range, right?
Absolutely.
Can I leave the cabin? No, you can't.
That's right.
But, I mean, that's available for parents, right?
Yes, for we have these things for parents that have either special needs children or young children, and so they can be reached at any time if needed.
Right. What about babysitting?
We don't have a babysitting program.
You got to do that.
It's being discussed. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, I'm just talking one for me.
Oh,
I want
okay.
one. I don't care about the kids. I want a babysitting program for me. No,
yeah.
But seriously, that's a big complaint I get from a lot of parents, because they actually think, as an all-inclusive experience on a cruise ship, that would also include the availability, at least, of a babysitting service.
Yeah, it hasn't been an area we've delved into yet, but it's something that's being looked at to see if...
See, what you do is you give the babysitter a 6-pack of Corona.
There you go.
No? That doesn't work? Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Sorry.
Bottom line is, Cirque Dreams, you got to see the show.
All the entertainment. It's amazing entertainment. You can see entertainment every night, all night long, and have a blast.
Richard Kilman, the Norwegian Cruise Line Director of Entertainment, thank you for joining us. That music means we're out of time for the whole show. We got to thank Mike Worrell, our chief engineer, Jeff Ryder handling the boards here on the East Coast, of course, Jake Hoosier, who's handling the boards here on the ship, Jessica Soberman, our producer, Shelley Goncharowski, our big producer. We will see you next week, ladies and gentlemen, from another undisclosed location somewhere around the world. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.